This is Exceptional Voices, a podcast shining a light on businesses that champion inclusive recruitment and hire people with lived experience of the criminal justice system.
Hi, I'm Adriana Pace, Director of the Woven Foundation. This podcast celebrates 10 years of The Exceptionals, our award-winning campaign for social change, which opens doors for employers to hire people with lived experience of the criminal justice system. Since 2016, we've celebrated outstanding examples of best practice, powerful stories of transformation, resilience, and value-led leadership. These stories show that when people are given a fair chance, extraordinary things can happen, both in the workplace and in the wider community. Over that time, the number of employers recognising the value of hiring prison leavers has doubled, from 12% to 24%, but there's still a long way to go. This series continues our work in this space. You'll hear from employers and experts sharing practical tips to help navigate the hiring process with confidence, while also offering valuable insight into the meaningful relationships they've built along the way. Hello, and welcome to Exceptional Voices. I'm your host, Adriana. Today, we're celebrating the incredible work of The Glass House, a remarkable social enterprise dedicated to empowering women through meaningful horticultural employment. Co-founded by Callie Hamilton-Stove and Melissa Murdoch, The Glass House helps women rebuild their lives with confidence and purpose. Their innovative work was recently recognised with a gold medal at the RHS Chelsea Flower Show in 2025, a testament to their creativity and social impact. Today, we're broadcasting live from our Fitzrovia studio on a slightly wet and windy day, and we're joined by Callie and Ree, whose journey illustrates the transformative power of this programme. So I'll start off with asking you, Callie, can you tell us a little bit about The Glass House and kind of what inspired its creation and your mission to transform abandoned prison spaces into fantastic horticultural hubs?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be with you. It started in 2019 when my partner Melissa Murdoch visited a prison, HMP East Sutton Park. It's an open women's prison in Kent. And she was visiting in another capacity, but hearing about some of the struggles they were having there, how women were leaving prison without a safe place to live, and how they were really struggling to find work and to actually make it work. And that was leading to really high reoffending rates. So she was hearing this. And then as she toured the prison grounds, she noticed that they had four disused prison greenhouses. These were quite big industrial greenhouses that would have been built, maybe 100 years ago to kind of help create foods for the prison. But they weren't really used anymore because of the change in the food system. There was a little bit going on there, but certainly not in any way used fully. And so she saw those and she thought, well, we know that horticulture has such incredible power to heal and to help people, and to it's got a lot of benefits beyond just work. But we also know that there must be employment opportunities there. So she came away with the idea to use those greenhouses to create opportunity, basically, through horticulture. And so she came to me with that idea, and we bounced it around a lot and thought about it and did lots of research and landed on the interior landscaping business, which is a really growing, burgeoning business where plants are put in offices, hotels, retail spaces, and then people maintain them. And this, in our research, we found this industry was extremely flexible, really supportive. It was a really great kind of horticulture industry that was also focused in a lot of the kind of urban areas where the women were coming from. And so we started a training program Well, we wrote a business plan first and went to the Ministry of Justice before we started Dream Room. So the Ministry of Justice, we went in the beginning of 2020 to the Ministry of Justice with this business plan of how to use those greenhouses to start this training program. And we were really lucky. We went through the New Futures Network at the Ministry of Justice, and they were incredibly supportive. They saw the benefit immediately, and they loved the idea of using this resource that was in place that, you know, wasn't really in play at the moment. And literally we were in the prison within the next month with starting our training program with our first cohort. And it's grown and changed so much since then, because obviously COVID hit soon after that. So we really had to change the business plan. So now we have a website where we sell retail products. And that was because of COVID. So we kind of started working with smaller plants and doing sending out plants through the mail during COVID. And that was so popular, we've continued it. And other parts of our business have grown as well since then. And to be honest, we still are very active in that prison and now other prisons as well. But we really focus a lot of our work getting women out on day release from prison and getting them to be back in the community and feeling confident and ready to reenter society after release.
From your perspective, what are some of the biggest challenges women face when returning to the workplace?
I mean, I think the number one issue, and Ree can speak more about this certainly, but is a safe place, you know, a place where they feel comfortable and confident and happy to return to or find a new life somehow. And I think there that often is tied up in the place you live, and that's probably the hardest thing for women if they don't have a family or something to go back to that held on to something for them. We have women who often end up, you know, homeless, or they end up in really unsafe environments when they come out of prison, environments where there may be other people who've come out of prison who have, you know, different types of crimes or same types of crimes. And so they're in these environments where they're exposed to things that maybe they'd have a better chance of success if they could have their own space and really kind of start to look at their life in their own kind of singular, with their own singular hopes and dreams in mind, rather than struggling against a system, if that makes sense. So I'd say living is probably the number one. But I would say work is not far behind that, because being able to support yourself and being able to pay for your way in life and to feel good about what you do, that has the power to really change someone's life.
Mm. Ree, could you just let me know how you first heard about the Glass House? Can you share more about your work?
I first met the Glass House. I was invited to a workshop. The Glass House had come into the open prison that I was at, and they came in to allow the women to make up some compost, plant a plant, and then be able to keep the plant. And that may just sound like, oh, okay, that's like a small thing, but it isn't, because when you first come into prison, something I didn't realize was that you are removed completely from nature. So you are all of the things that nature gives you and all of the senses that nature feeds is suddenly removed. So to have to cope with that, and then to be invited to a workshop where I could put my hands in soil. And I still remember to this day walking into the room, and there was an ivy in a pot that they brought just to sort of make the room look nice. And an ivy is just an ivy. It used to be a nuisance in a garden. And it was like I was fascinated by it. I looked at it just to see the green in the leaves. And it was that important to me. So that was how I first met them. And fortunately for me then, being part of that workshop, they spoke to me about if I wanted to go out and work on Rottle, that they would invite me to have an interview and be part of the programme, which I then went on to do. And I was fortunate enough that I became part of the programme, and I worked for them for a year whilst in Cutch study, and I've continued to work for them.
To just confirm, Rottle means...
Sorry, it's release on temporary licence. Oh. So, when I worked for them from the prison, I would wake up in prison. I would go out of prison on release on temporary licence, Rottle, and then I would go back to prison in the evening to sleep.
In practical terms, Kelly, how does the Glass House support women on their journey? And what kind of horticultural training or employment opportunities do they receive with you?
So we are really focused on getting women ready for release and ensuring their success after they re-enter society from custody. So to do that, we have our main focus, because we are actually a commercial business. We're not a charity. We are focused on, we are not for profit, and we're called, you know, social enterprise, as you said, or a CIC, which is a community interest company. So all our profits or any money we make will go back into our training and employment programs, but we have a commercial focus, and we feel that that is like one of the big benefits that we bring to this whole offering. So we support women through providing real life, actual employment that they can see that they're bringing something to a business rather than, you know, being given something or being, kind of be a something in a charitable environment. So they are a part of a business. They have a job where they can see the benefits and they can feel valued by the clients, by our team, by the executives that we work with. And so that is a really big part of the support we provide. And that's really where a big part of our organization is focused on making that commercial kind of employment opportunity for women. But we also have a support system that runs alongside that goes through our head of social impact. And she basically, initially, when women come out after we've made an offer and they've accepted it and they start the program, first thing they do is sit down and they talk about their lives, what they want, what situation they're in, if they have children, if they have physical or mental needs, anything that could inhibit them from being successful after release. And we look at those things and we make a plan. And then during that period that we have them, usually in that last year to 2 years of their sentence, we work through that plan and we try to address anything that's going to get in their way. And sometimes that's really difficult. I mean, we've had some really challenging, you know, problems come up, and we work with a lot of other organizations, or we kind of road map people to different organizations. We work with the probation system, whatever we can do to make it as smooth and successful. That's kind of our focus. And it's different for every person. We have to look at that as an individual, and we have to kind of take every single opportunity as it presents, because no one person and another person are exactly alike at all, especially in this case. So that's kind of how we work. I mean, I would say the biggest benefit with all of that, the biggest benefit we bring is believing in them and they making them feel valued and that they deserve that support and that they deserve to work and they deserve to be able to support themselves and make their way in life.
So inspiring. Ree, what impact has the Glasshouse had on your life so far?
What impact?
That's a good question. I thought I'd...
Well, it's been life-saving. It hasn't been life-changing. It's been life-saving because if it hadn't have been for the Glasshouse, I'm female, I'm of a certain age, and I have a criminal record. So the prospects of me getting employment of any type, let alone meaningful employment, all those barriers would have been in place. I also wouldn't have had safe housing. So for me, it really has been life-saving. When women come into prison, it is a lack of freedom. Lots of women have more freedom when they're in prison because of circumstances that they lived within. So it is lack of privacy, dignity and value. And being able to come out on Rottle, you are commuting with everybody else, which gives you your dignity back. Privacy, there is no privacy in prison. All you have and all you live with is the sound of mental health. There is no privacy at all. So to be able to come out and to work and to nurture plants and to look after the plants in the growing facility gave me privacy, because I could go there, I could be on my own and visit thoughts that I were too frightened to visit, think through things that I was too frightened to open up about, because you know you open Pandora's box and you need to be able to close it. And to have the privacy to do that, to be able to listen to a song, to be able to cry and listen to a song. And although I was on my own there, I wasn't alone, because I had all the plants and I had something to nurture. And I think as women, we naturally want to nurture. So it's as big as that. And I think that given that job opportunity makes you realise that it made me realise that I've actually got skills that I never realised I had, that I've got personality traits that I didn't realise I had, positive personality traits, but I didn't realise I had. And it also reminds you that you were a protective member of society, and that all you need is that opportunity to be a protective member of society again. And that, you know, by the fact that people find themselves in prison means that part or all their life is broken, and society can either help them make something beautiful of that brokenness, or it can just keep them hidden or invisible. And fortunately for me, the glass house scooped me up and made me feel I belonged, because when you go into prison, you don't belong. It's an alien environment. You're removed from everything you belong to pre-custody. Then suddenly you're in this environment that you're trying to survive, and everybody else is trying to survive. And then to be able to work for the glass house, I feel I belong. I've started feeling that I belong to something that was, and I'm Welsh, and there is a Welsh word, hiraeth, and there is no English translation to it, but it means a longing of belonging to something. And that I definitely felt. And that, I think, was the first step of healing, because you can only, you know, you can only start to heal if you have the opportunity to, and being part of the glass house, coming out of the environment that was very difficult, realizing that, yes, I can do this. Yes, I have skills, and yes, I matter, were the building blocks really of what is now my future.
I was going to ask you, you know, how the program has changed how you see your future.
I was living sort of day to day, and I was just dealing in custody. You have to be on high alert all the time. You know, you've got people coming in to roll check you like at five every morning, so you've got a torch in your face. You don't have access to the normal things that so you're heightened on alert. You lose the ability to make choices just in short periods of time, because your decision making is taken away from you, and you have to navigate something that is so alien, and you have to navigate that very quickly. So I live day to day. I didn't really think about my future. When I started to think about my future, I was alive. So I thought, okay, I'm luckier than some, but it was bleak. I'm a problem solver. I know I am, and I tried, but my future probably was a campsite with a tent and a sleeping bag that I probably would have been funded by probation. And I would have gone round and given my number into kebab houses or chip shops and said, look, if someone lets you down, ring me and I'll come at the last minute. And that's what my plan was. But how long I would have tolerated that, I'm not sure, till I'd sort of maybe made a decision that enough was enough. And, you know, I don't know. And that's why I refer to it as life saving, not life changing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Kelly, if you could give one piece of advice to a business or a social enterprise considering employing prison leavers, what would it be?
Oh, there's so much potential there. It's unbelievable that, and that shocked me. You know, I had never worked or experienced, you know, that environment before I started working in that environment. And it has blown me away, the potential that exists there if given the chance. And I think all businesses and social enterprises and charities should be open to going in and recruiting in those environments. So I think there's so many people who want and are willing to work so hard for a second chance. So really taking the time and recognizing that potential and being open to giving a bit of support to help them realize their potential as well.
I think what's so inspiring is when you talk about the importance of really exploring the individual in each of the women that you welcome into your organization. And I think that's such an important thing, is really to understand as employer, as you would with any employee, that you're dealing with individuals with individual needs and trying to create the right environment of trust and of open communication to sustain that relationship long term in a really meaningful way that can be so transformative for both sides. the conversation.
And the loyalty and the what you get in return is this incredible gratitude and loyalty from many of these people who do feel really hopeless. And so being given an opportunity, all of a sudden you have someone who you might train a bit, or you might give a job to, but the exchange is it feels, it, as Reese says, it can feel life-saving to them. And so they are become very good employees and very good ambassadors like Ree.
Absolutely. I was going to say, Ree, what would you say to other women who may be considering joining the program?
To join it, and to just take any opportunity, and to actually realize that, that there is a future, and that just because one thing has happened to them, it doesn't need to be what defines you. Women that I've met have massive skills that they don't realize, because they've run homes and they've brought up children, and that takes a massive skill set. But if no one has ever in your whole life said well done, or no one has ever in your life valued what you've done, how do these women actually recognize within themselves that they have these skills? Because and I think when you go into prison, there is a reality that no one is coming. So to be part of an organisation where somebody is coming, and somebody has come, and somebody's given you that opportunity, and somebody's given you that chance, just take it. And we invest in the women. So when the Glasshouse employs people, we're not looking for like an IT expert, or we're not looking for somebody who's a qualified horticulturist. I wasn't when I started. I'd looked after a garden, but I had no indoor plant knowledge. So the Glasshouse invests in the woman, and then the qualities and what they can run with shows itself by just giving that person an opportunity. I now have a horticultural qualification that the Glasshouse has supported me. I've got a City and Guilds Level 2 diploma in horticulture. So I also have that other knowledge, which again, when we were at Chelsea, we were there really with a bit of imposter syndrome, because you're there at a really prestigious event, but actually we weren't there as the Glasshouse. We were there as qualified horticulturalists, and we got gold as qualified horticulturists. Yes, we had lots of support with input, and Chelsea was very specific, and we had so many people that supported us. But that then means that we were there in our own right. And I think so any woman that can take any job opportunity, particularly with the Glasshouse, because it's what I've experienced, and I know how much we add support, but any opportunity to work whilst in prison or post-release, they should take and they should run with, because they are worthy of a second chance. And they matter, and they are enough. And we don't tell ourselves this enough, because I'd forgotten how to be happy, and I'd forgotten that I am enough, and now I know I am.
Looking ahead, Kelly, what's next for the Glasshouse?
Oh, gosh. I have to say, Chelsea's been big for us this year. We loved being a part of Chelsea, and we loved the whole process, and we loved the actual being there on, at the gardens and the grounds is incredibly empowering for the women and for all of us to feel good about the work we do and to feel positive. But it takes it out of us. So I think this year we're really focused on making sure that our business side is working well. We have about 35 clients, maybe 40 now, big corporates that are amazing to us. Francis Crick, MFS, really big insurance and banking companies, Hoare Bank. So we want to make sure that our services continue to be outstanding. We've never lost a client. We want to continue to make sure that we are providing the best service in the interior landscaping and the maintenance business. And we have a few new amazing, massive clients who we're putting in this year. And once we do that, and Christmas, we also do Christmas trees. So we have to do that this year as well. Once we do that, I think next year we're really thinking about, we basically are thinking about what our growth in a business light looks like. So how we're going to really scale the business that we've created, that we should break even this year. And that's amazing for a company that started out, you know, 5 years ago, that this year we will actually make profit. And we still require funding for some of the social support we provide. But generally, we soon will be able to cover all of our costs with the money that we're generating from our commercial enterprise, which is amazing. And then we can look at scaling and how we want to do that. So we're certainly looking at growing into other prisons and more trainings in prisons. You know, Chelsea this year, the Garden went into HMP Downview, which is a women's prison in Surrey. So that's a new kind of place where we're doing training and hopefully starting recruiting this year, next year, if they will start their day release program, we can start recruiting from there. And then we're just going to slowly kind of hope to increase that to other women's prisons. And then eventually, I hope that we'll be so successful across London that we can look to do it in Manchester and Liverpool and in other major cities in the north, because there are women's prisons up there that really need a lot of support as well and need work programs like this. So that's my hope. And we do have a plan that kind of changes as we kind of, I think what I've learned, I wouldn't call myself an entrepreneur at all, but what I've learned is you really have to be nimble and quick, and you have to just make decisions, you know, that you feel are right at the time. And with that, whilst we have a plan, it changes all the time. So we just want to help more women. We want to help impact, provide more impact so that more women get more second chances. And we want to give actually our society and corporates an opportunity to be involved with that, to see how that works and see the benefit of providing that work.
Well, that was my last question, which was, how can our listeners or businesses tuning in get involved in supporting your mission?
Well, obviously the biggest income and the biggest driver for providing more impact for us is that interior landscaping. So putting plants into offices, into those retail and hospitality environments. That's definitely where most of our income comes and where we're able to provide the most work and the most training. But we also have our Christmas trees, which we do between kind of 75 and 100 every year. It's a lot of Christmas trees. And we love doing it. Everyone loves doing it. It's an intense time, but we love it. And so that's another opportunity. But we have corporate gifting. We do workshops, well-being workshops. And those are great because the women come and lead those. And it's a chance for them to be the teacher and for them to be the expert. And those are really beneficial for both the people that are attending and for us. And then also we have our website where anyone can buy a plant, and they're beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah, they are beautiful.
Reed is basically takes care of all the plants, more or less. She's kind of over our growing facility now.
They are beautiful, and I think that the service that we provide, I know self-praise is no praise, but I think because like Hallie said, because we've been given a chance, we give back more because it means more to us. And I think that across whatever you do, whether it's a Christmas tree, whether it's a corporate gift, whether you've just ordered a plant instead of cut flowers for a loved one, every element of it matters to us. And also there's an element of, you know, we want to be better because probably we've got more barriers, and we want to show people that we are top of the, you know, standards within the industry, and that for people at the corporate clients, that they should be proud that they support us, that we are proud that they support us, but they should be proud because we want our service to be a service that they can be really proud of, not just of what they're getting, but of what they're giving. And that's an opportunity, and just giving us second chances.
Well, I can't thank you both enough for sharing your experience and your vision. It's so inspiring. So thank you both so much for taking this time out of what I know is a very, very busy schedule to come and talk to us. So thank you both so much. And I know it will inspire lots of other employers to see the opportunity that you've created.
Thank you for having me.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Exceptional Voices. And a huge thank you to our guests, Callie and Ree, for sharing their experiences and insights. The Glasshouse shows the incredible impact a social enterprise can have, giving women the chance to rebuild their lives through horticultural training, support, and meaningful employment. To find out more or to support this amazing work, you can find The Glasshouse on their websites or socials. I'm Adriana, and this is Exceptional Voices. We look forward to sharing more inspiring stories of how lives are transformed from prison to the workplace.
The Exceptional Voices podcast is part of the Exceptionals campaign. Find out more at www.theexceptionals.org. Audio production by The Boy in the Corner.